Oh, we're gonna do intro first.
Intro first? Yeah. Intro first.
Intro.
Howdy, howdy, this is Chris Erickson.
And Cassidy Lewis. We are both born and raised here in North County, San Diego.
We're dads, we're husbands.
And we're both realtors.
And this podcast is all about the people, the places, and the stories around North County.
Thanks for tuning in to North County Now.
Welcome back, my friends. Another edition of North County Now, episode 194. Fresh off the heels of an epic NFL weekend, an epic Vegas trip, an epic rainstorm. I wasn't here, but Cassie will fill us in on that in the weather section of this episode. But hope you guys are doing well. As always, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe, like, whatever you need to do. Follow us along, share it with a friend, and where can we find you, sir?
At Cassidy Lewis, RE on Instagram.
And you can find me over at I Am Chris Erickson over on the old Instagram. Come say what's up. And yeah, we got a hot lineup. We got a beer corner, craft corner, some predictions on what people are going to be drinking this year. There's some interesting ones in there. There's actually one of them in the beer category is... it's kind of a debate. Is it
questionable?
Yeah. So we'll get into that. Not the beer that they're thinking is going to be, the style is going to be drink, but one of the other comments in there. So we'll get into that. A few new places opening up. We mentioned them in the past. We're going to talk a little bit about the Yips. You guys know what the Yips are, and break down how much I won or did not win in Vegas. So we shall see.
I'm excited to hear. I like when we keep it a secret.
Yeah. Don't tell them. Hot tease. Let's call it a hot tease. But thanks for tuning in, guys. Let's jump into it. This is not a real estate podcast, but as always, sponsored by our crew, the Beach Life Group, right here in North County, California. Hit us up if you need anything. Hello at NorthCountyCA.com. I was like, wait, is it North County SD or CA? Okay, it's CA.
I didn't know if you froze or if you were thinking about it.
I did freeze. I froze. My brain froze a little bit. So what's the real estate minute? Fill us in, Cassidy. We're in the third week of January, so.
Sorry, an ad came on the NFL website.
Okay.
I'm like, wait, what's going on here? It's off.
All right.
What Goodbye, was your Ad. Question?
What is the real estate minute?
It's kind of still the same as the last couple of weeks. There's just not that much demand out there. Things are going in escrow. It's just not a ton of it.
I did see something pop up in Village Park, detached house. It's going to blow your mind for under $1 million.
Wow.
It's already pending. It came soon. $999. They were doing no showings till mid February, but they were accepting potentially blind offers. Boom, blind offer.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it'll sell for more than that, but super. I'm assuming just original fixer, everything. But yeah, haven't seen that price point here in 2 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, probably longer than that. But.
Yeah, I'd say buyers are definitely still in the driver's seat unless you price something like that.
Yeah. So definitely SF way of pricing homes.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Just price it under, see what happens. How was the week?
Week was good. It was wet.
Yeah.
We didn't do a whole ton. Kim's soccer tournament got pushed again. So, no soccer this past weekend. They found turf fields for next weekend. So it's going to happen. It will be done and we will get to move on from all-star soccer, which will be nice.
All right.
Because it just keeps meaning weeks of practices for nothing. And then
weeks of practice, changing your schedule, figuring things out. You're like, come on.
Well, we don't even know. I mean, that's the frustrating part, too, is like here it is Tuesday at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we have no clue any game times.
What turf fields did they find?
The Forest Ranch.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess there's a big group of soccer fields down there. San Marcos really doesn't have... other than Palomar College, which is where they practice, they don't have much in the way of turf fields. So it'd be nice once San Alejo gets theirs. That'll be a cool ad.
Yeah. Then you'd be able to play at all times.
Yeah. In the rain, whatever. Yeah. Like that's what we were yesterday. kicking around the ball and playing a little catch at Aga Norte, and it could rain or not. Didn't really matter because it's all turf.
Yep.
So, and everybody and their mother was out there yesterday. As soon as the sun came out for like 3 minutes, there was both fields were completely covered in different groups.
Really?
Yeah, it was incredible. Like by the time we left, because when we were driving there, it started dumping again, probably like 2 o'clock, 2:30, something like that. And then when we got there, there was just a couple groups. And then, but when we were leaving, it was completely packed. We were there for like an hour and a half, something like that.
So people just getting some reps in?
Yeah, exactly.
All baseball or what?
No, it was mostly soccer. It was okay. A lot of soccer. There was a couple high school, I was telling Cam to watch closely. There were like three or four high school age kids that were just fielding ground balls from a coach or dad, whatever it was. And it was just smooth as butter. It was incredible to watch.
Yeah.
Just slick gloves.
Yeah.
So, but that was the only baseball really. There's a couple old dudes practicing softball. we should probably start going and doing that at some point here.
I'll practice on Thursday, February, what is it? Whenever our game starts.
The night.
Yeah, I'll practice then when we warm up.
But anyway, other than that, we were nuts and went up to Disneyland for just one night with some friends on Friday. and then tried to recover from that all weekend and just watched a ton of football and just kind of hung out. It was fun. It was a good, quiet weekend.
Yeah. No rain on Friday?
It rained pretty much every day.
Oh,
at Disneyland, no, we didn't get any rain on Friday. I don't
think. Oh, okay.
That was like a one-off day.
You guys usually like to walk around soaked?
Yeah. No, that was the first question. Cam was ecstatic because it's with one of his best friends.
Yeah.
But that was his first question. Is it going to rain? So he might have said no.
Yeah. I'm good. Thanks. Very nice. But
yeah, my beer of the week will come from there, which was a cool find. I'd never tried before, and it was very tasty. So
nice.
And then, yeah, just lots of football. It was great.
All right, well, that's what we'll get into in the sports corner.
Nice.
A little NFL. Yeah, a lot of good games. But my weekend was in the lovely Las Vegas, the king of the road trip. It's been going on for, I don't know, my gramps has been doing it. I want to say my dad's been doing it for about 30 years, so maybe 40, 50 years, something like that. I've been doing it a long time.
Who did you go with like originally? Like when
a bunch of his boys from like the Elks and just his buddies who forever. So
always the same weekend, always the first weekend of playoffs?
Yeah, MLK weekend. So
Okay, yeah.
And it used to be Friday. We used to drive all the time too. That's why it's king of the road. So
yeah. They
used to get jackets made. Like they used to do it up, and it used to be old school Vegas. So just like, you know, like nice and everything's cheap, and it's, you know, it wasn't, it's totally different Vegas now. Even from when I started going, when we were 21, we started getting invited. And even since then, I guess it's been, well, it seems like not that long ago, but I guess it's been about 20 years.
Yeah.
It's a different world for sure. But yeah, they were going, I mean, like the Plaza, Fremont Street, when it was not a show, Vegas Club, all the old school hotels down there. So now they have this huge one called Circa, and they have, I mean, it's crazy. It's Vegas, downtown Vegas is the reason you go there is because things are cheap and it's kind of like a different vibe. And it's like, you know, you can find a card table because it's not crazy busy, but over the past, yeah, probably 10 years it has. And then Circa, they knocked down this old hotel and then just built this huge, brand new, beautiful hotel with like a rooftop pool, stadium, arena. Have you seen Circa at all?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's gnarly. We haven't gone up there because it's even to go from like the game floor to go up the stairs. They don't just let you go check it out. It's like $40 to get up there. We're like, yeah, no thanks. We'll just look at the pictures. But I guess they have a ton of pools up there. Huge, it's probably closed this weekend because it was kind of rainy, but huge, gigantic jumbotron basically, and just kind of like a huge party up there at all times. And then in their actual sports book, they have like stadium seating, which you could basically buy a seat if you wanted to. We didn't look into the pricing. I think Joe was saying it was like $150, or no, somebody was saying yesterday it's like $150 just to get a seat, and you huge giant screens up there too. You got, you know, a few different games on. I don't know, they were playing hockey or basketball or something. I'm like, what? Just have it all. Like, who's watching those ones?
That circuit looks rad.
Yeah, it is.
Watch a game.
Yeah.
Cool side.
Yeah, maybe one day we'll do it, but yeah. It definitely is more of that strip Vegas as opposed to downtown Vegas, but now it's kind of becoming that. So,
yep.
But yeah, just the Plaza is like the OG hotel. It's like if you go to the end of Fremont Street, it's right there. It's kind of like iconic in Vegas. So that's our stay. And even over the past few years, that's become nice. Like now they have a pop up pizza spot, which is really good pizzas. They have they just opened a new kind of live music venue right there / sports bar. It just kind of grown up over the past few years. So it is nice. Gambling wise, did all right. Well, all in all, came back with the same amount of money that I went with.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Which is a win in my... No, yeah. Actually, I think I was plus $35. So
nice.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. But yeah, it was... I mean, so Corey, my brother, is he's a slot machine guy. So he'll run around, play all the slots, try to find like little nooks and crannies, like penny slots with like the, you know, kind of fun bonus games. So I followed him around for a little bit. Joe's like blackjack kind of guy. So he just does that. We did a lot of sports betting. And I think that final game, it was the Bengals game.
Baltimore.
Yeah, Bengals, Baltimore. And where'd it go? Oh, there it is. It was Bengals, Baltimore game. And I told Julie that I had the Bengals. So she's, you know, rooting for the Bengals. And then at the end, text me like, yeah, go Bengals. I was like, yeah, but they only won by 7. I needed them to win by 8. So,
remember the end of that one.
I mean, it was a tight game, and then Ravens were about to go ahead, and he tried to reach over the goal line, and the Bengals ran it back like 99 yards or whatever
right.
it was.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And it turned it around. And then, so at the end of that, we're just hoping for a scrap field goal by the Bengals to put them up 10, which puts us in the money. Unfortunately, they fell short.
You know, you can't rely on the Bengals to do anything. So I knew that, or I remember my dad telling me that when I was like 8 years old watching Bengals Chargers games.
Yeah.
Not that they've been good the last couple of years, but just not reliable.
Yeah. Yeah. Just give me one more point, guys. One more point. You know, it's crazy how accurate a lot of those lines are. I know they move with people betting. Like if a lot of people are betting the Bengals, the lines will go down or vice versa. Mm-hmm. But you know, how many games it comes down to, like just even like weird stuff happening throughout the game, like a missed field goal will make it not, you know, it'd be right on that line or something. Mm-hmm. And it seems like, so every game was an over. So if you bet the over on every game, the total of both points, you know, you won every game. I only did a few overs. I think I had the Giants Vikings games over. Mm-hmm. And parlayed that one with the Giants win there. I was actually getting plus 3 points for the Giants. So they won 31-24, but they could have lost by 2.5 points. Could have lost by 2 and still been good. But Charger game, good Lord. That was money in the bank. I was like, so I had won the first game, Niners. Good job, Niners. Shout out to them. They covered too. They had to cover by, I think it was 9.5 pointer. So basically went by 10.
Yeah.
Maybe it was even a little more. Anyways, they did win that one, which was nice. Kind of made it, you know, close for a bit and then ran away. Yeah. So win that first ticket. Cause I went, you know, I have a ticket on each game and then like a few parlays on multiple games. Mm-hmm. And so if you keep knocking down the dominoes to keep your tickets alive. So first ticket to keep alive was the Niners. And then, you know, watching the Charger game, I think Chargers were favored by 2.5. So just win by a field goal and they're, you know, money in the bank. Mm-hmm. So we're watching it like, yeah, this is, I mean, come on, this is a gimme. So I'm feeling real good at halftime. I think it ended up being 27. I think they gave up a little touchdown at the end of the first half. So it's 27-7. Still, you're up by 20. You're like, dude, this is great. Let's feeling good. I'm going to win two tickets in a row. Because last year I won, basically, I think I won zero tickets. Just didn't cash anything.
Oh, geez.
So having that first ticket win on the Niners was awesome. And then, yeah, you guys all know what happened in the latter half of that game. And
we were at Fidel's for the first half mm-hmm. with my folks, and we had a TV right in front of us, and there was these super obnoxious Charger fans that we couldn't see from where we were sitting.
Yeah,
but they were just like, they had to keep apologizing to the older couple next to us, and like, because they were screaming in the middle of a restaurant.
Yeah,
not like in a sports bar.
You're like, oh, this isn't the right venue here.
No, it definitely wasn't. And a couple of them were not using the nicest language. And so Charles, as we were leaving, was like, God, I hope the Jaguars come back and beat the Chargers. And literally, it was like her mission on the couch was to root as hard as she could for the Jaguars.
Yeah,
when we got home.
Her rooting definitely pushed them forward. So.
Yeah, crazy. I mean, it's the epitome. I was chatting with an agent during that game, and it's the epitome of Chargers. It is. I mean, and he's like, they always do this. And it's like, I've been a big fan for like 10 years, and they always do this. And I'm like, it's not 10 years, bud. They've been doing this since I was a little kid. So, I mean, this is just what happens. And they fired their offensive coordinator yesterday or today. Like, why is the head coach not fired?
Fired him mid-game.
Yeah, right, exactly.
A year out.
It wasn't the offense's fault.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, I mean, you know, you can't – it gets to that point where they kind of take the brakes off. They're just trying to run out the clock and, you know, kind of be a little more conservative instead of just kind of keep attacking, which is the way you have to do it in the playoffs or stuff like that happens. Just I remember Marty Ball, how many times they had a lead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then you're just handing it off, doing like little dinks and dunks.
Yeah,
up the middle, up the middle. You're like, okay, they know what's coming. Yeah, so it was lost my ticket. It's good, though, that they're not in San Diego anymore, because then that would have been like a more of a bummer. Like, just like, I lost my ticket, Chargers. Yeah. And then just kind of didn't care after that, which was nice.
On to the next one.
Yeah. Okay. What's my next bet? What do we have tomorrow coming up? And What's that?
Bills didn't cover either.
No. I took your Bills. They did not cover.
Because it was like, wasn't it 9 or something like that? Isn't that what you said?
Yeah. It was up there quite a bit. Yeah. They definitely didn't cover.
Way closer than I was hoping.
Yeah. So basically all my big tickets were killed. And then the last one was, Bengals Ravens that squashed that last one. But I just did a one off of the Giants Vikings game. And one of the guys at the bar too was like, he was kind of after all the games. I think it was definitely after the Charger game. As the Ravens were trying to make a comeback too, he's like talking, oh, I'm from Minneapolis, and you know, Vikings, they do this every year. And my dad is, I think he was like, yeah, we're from San Diego, so we're well versed in this.
Yeah, right.
Oh, Giants Vikings. Yeah.
Oh, Giants Vikings. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my big winner. Not big winner, whatever. It was a miniature winner, but it was a ticket. I won one of my parlays, which is nice. I think it was the only parlay that I won. So
nice.
All in all, I'd say it was mostly a push. Because after I won that parlay, I figured, hey, let's go big on the next game. And it was the Bengals Ravens. Mm-hmm. So I had them over, which was nice. Had them to cover, did not by 1 point. Sons of guns. So anyways, lost that ticket. That was, I think it was going to pay, it was $50 to pay like 180 or something. 170, 180, which mm-hmm. sounds pretty good. Actually, now I'm thinking about two for just a two teamer, mm-hmm. but didn't win all that much. So
$35 is $35. And I mean, yeah, it's 2 days worth of, you know, having something on the line for every game. And
yeah.
Would you have put money on the Cowboys to win last night?
No, I would have definitely gone the Bucks.
You would have gone Brady no matter what.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, you have some Bucks connection too.
No, that was my, you know, how you kind of had to find a team. I had to find a, I don't know why I didn't have to, but I was like, oh, I want an NFC team when I was growing up. So
that's right.
I was like, you know, John Lynch, who else was on there? Mike Allstott. Mm-hmm. Those were the key guys. So
yep. I just remember there was some kind of Bucks connection.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Before we get into the yips, I did. So I was kind of down, not down, but just kind of, you know, chugging along. And then the last day it was, you know, we had three card poker, which is basically you get dealt three cards. You're playing against the dealer. She gets her three cards. It's pretty simple. You know, mm-hmm. you beat her, you win. Mm-hmm. And it was like me, my pops, Corey, my cousin, Scotty, uncle, two uncles. So we had the whole table. So it was awesome. And the first dealer was
Scotty last week.
Oh, yeah, that's what he said. He's like, hey, I didn't know Cassie was like right on that corner or, you know, right there. So he said, yeah, I gave him like a fist bump or something.
Yeah, and just kept running.
Yeah. He was out in the Elfin Forest Trail somewhere down there. Oh, nice. So
very cool. Anyway,
yeah. Yeah, he did mention that.
So that whole table was you guys.
Yeah, so it was awesome. And then the first dealer was whatever, you know, a lot of the fun comes down to the dealer. So just kind of, you know, interacting and kind of how she's playing along with you, because it's kind of a slow game. She deals out all the cards. You know, it's not like blackjack, boom, 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 just kind of straight, you know, here's what you get. There's, you know, not strategy, but you can basically, if you play, you're going to double up your bet, or you could fold, and then you just kind of lose what you already have out there. Mm-hmm. And so the second gal, she was super fun, just kind of interacting and, you know, laughing at our dumb jokes and mm-hmm. having fun. But I did hit so three of a kind. So in your three cards, I kind of just do it slow play. You're looking at them. I'm like, okay, 1-3, 2-3. Okay, I have a pair. I'm going to play anyways. So pairs, you're going to play a pair no matter what. Mm-hmm. And then she flipped it over and it was 3-3s. So that paid, all in all, it ended up paying like $500. So that brought me to even. And that was the last night. We were only up for another hour and a half after that. So nice. That was like, oh, perfect. Take this off and play with the rest of these chips that we have out here. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was good. It's been a few years since I hit a big one like that. So
nice.
Especially at the end, you know, towards the end. So.
Well, three of a kind, that's pretty gnarly. If only getting three cards.
Yeah. Yeah. It was three of a kind. And then, there's like a six card bonus. So you get to play with her cards. She had a pair. And so ended up getting a full house that pays whatever extra. So there was a bonus on top of the bonus, cool. which was rad.
Nice.
Yeah. Joe was betting during all the games. Joey was betting all like, you could bet all these prop bets, like mm-hmm. first to score, how many yards is this guy going to get? You know, who's going to score the first touchdown? He ended up hitting a few. I think right before he left, he had to leave on Sunday night, I want to say. Right before he left, one of his tickets, I think it was, he had one of the receivers to get over a certain amount of yards, ended up getting it right probably 15 minutes ago to try to cash it in, but he couldn't because the game wasn't over yet. You still have to wait till the end of the game. He's like, yeah. I won. You're like, yeah, but you got to wait. So
were you guys able to cash it in for him, or did you have?
Yeah, I think my pops did.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, I think you could mail them in, honestly. Like, I think in past cool. years, like, you can, like, because my dad has another ticket for, he did have Dallas. I think he had Dallas last night. So he's nice. He's happy. But I think you can mail it in or something. There's something you could do to mm-hmm. get your money. Mail it in and they send you a check. I have no idea how it works. Oh.
It's a weird department in the back rooms of the casino.
Yeah. Somebody yeah. gets the mail. They're like, huh. Ticket. Like, yeah, that's. Get like one thing a month, one mailed in a month. You're like,
I bet honestly, you probably get probably a bunch.
Yeah.
Or folks that find like a ticket in their suitcase or something like that when they get
home. Oh, yeah.
They're like, oh, there's still $12 on this.
Yeah. Yeah. Mail in the $12. Oh, yeah. I don't know. All in all, awesome trip. Just hung out at our casino a lot, walked around a little bit down to Circa, a few other spots, not too much. Joe's the king of prop bets. Yeah, nice little trip. That was
very cool.
Vegas in a nutshell.
Nice. I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, coming back with the same amount you went with, that's a win in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Yeah. What, anything else on the NFL?
Yips.
Yeah. Get into those yips.
I mean, that last night, so the Dallas Bucks game wasn't much of a game. Dallas pretty much had it from the get-go. And how about Tom Brady's first red zone pick since 2019 or something like that?
Oh, is that where it picked? Yeah. I just saw the stats. It was however many yards and one touch and one pick, but okay. Yeah. Within the red zone.
Well, in the end zone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Come on, Tommy.
Yeah. Not a good one. And Dallas just stormed right all down the field, 80 whatever yards, and got another touchdown. But the story of the game was really the kicker for Dallas. Missed four extra points in a row. He finally made the last one, which is like for him probably an amazing feeling. But I mean, here you have like Joe Buck like saying, well, they might be looking for a new kicker this week if they win this game, and like all this stuff. It's like, this poor guy only missed two kicks all season, like field goals or extra points.
Did he miss a field goal too?
I don't think so. I could be wrong.
Or just the extra point?
I think just extra points. Maybe okay. Just four extra points in a row.
Yeah.
No, they didn't go for a field goal. One of the times they went for fourth and six, they went for it because they weren't confident he'd make the field goal. So I mean, at that point,
you miss two. You're like, let's just go for it.
And I'm curious too. Like, I didn't see any interviews and stuff, but you watch so many games that are on turf.
Yeah.
Where it just looks perfect and pristine. And for a kicker, that's huge because you're planting a foot and, booting it. The field at Tampa Bay looked awful. Like, it looked chunky and there were like huge lines across it. And I don't know if they had like Monster Jam there like 2 weeks ago or what they were doing, but it did not look like it was in good shape. And that would be an easy excuse for him to come out and say, but it did look pretty ugly.
Yeah, I guess the Bucks kicker didn't. He made his two, but
oh, okay.
He didn't really have a chance. Yeah,
they were better at that.
Yeah, it was the one that I saw. I only saw two of the missed field goals because it wasn't really an interesting game. First one went left, so he lines up the next one on the right hash.
And it goes wide right.
Yeah, just right. Basically, hit the post. Yeah, hit the post. It was like, oh, dude. Just go right in the middle, man.
Cam was thinking baseball. So like if it hits the foul pole, it's a home run.
Yeah.
And he's like, so that counts, right? Still has to go in between them.
Yeah.
It can hit it and bounce in, but it can't.
Can it go like directly over, or does it like, how do you, because the guys are standing right below. So they have to, I guess it's a judgment call at that point.
Yeah.
You know, when they're looking up the refs, but.
Yeah. So yeah, if it goes directly over, yeah, they make the call on whether it was. You'd think that they would have that be like a digital thing, like the World Cup offsides thing.
Yeah.
Like it seems like it'd be very easy to have. What, you don't need.
Oh yeah, yeah. Just go straight. Yeah. Like extend the goalpost.
Yeah. The guys that's their only job is the field goal. Put their hands up.
Yeah. I mean, they probably wouldn't, need it except for one time a year. But
yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. So just have it be digital.
Yeah. Mayer missed his only PAT try in week 18 against the Washington Commanders and looked to be shook from the offset in the Dallas players playoff opener when he pushed one wide in the first corner or in the first quarter. Whoops. And then three more after that.
I'm just glad he made the one.
Yeah, now he's back in it.
Yeah.
Like we said, the yips. Have you ever had the yips?
I don't think so. I don't think I've ever had like any. I mean, I'm not very good at any sport, so I mean, maybe I just have the yips in general. I did go through. It's so funny. I went through a period when I was playing second a lot. We had a first baseman that I didn't really trust very much, and I would throw like lollipops to him for whatever reason. Like I could not throw him a rope to save my life, and it was fully mental.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think that's the yips. I think it was more just confidence.
Yeah, no, I definitely softball when we were youngsters, playing in San Marcos at Bradley Field. It was, I don't know. I hadn't played in a while. So I was playing catcher, and I remember even just during warmups, I couldn't throw it right back to my guy. whoever it was, like maybe one of my brothers or something, it just couldn't do it. And so they're like chasing the ball, you know, left and right. And then my dad was pitching, and I don't know, dude, he's like, at one point, he's like, just step and throw, because I would throw it and like he'd have to go on the ground, you know, like get basically like a grounder or go over his head and second baseman's grabbing it. And it went on for an inning or two. And it was just like the weirdest thing, because you're playing baseball your whole life. You're like, I mean, it's throwing a ball, especially back from it's just playing catch at that point. It's not even trying to throw somebody out at first. Right. It's just like, here's the ball back. And ended up correcting it, because I don't know. I don't know how I did. It just kind of, you get out of your head at some point. You're like, okay, now we're back.
Yeah.
But it was definitely Joel's thing.
Reaction. Donovan goes through that too. Like if he gets there at like game time, he's warmed up, he'll throw like six in a row that one's in the dirt, one's over Joel's head, one's to the left, one's to the right. And watching his Joel's reaction is hilarious.
Yeah. And then, I mean, after three, it's like, okay, now I have to concentrate to throw this. Yeah.
Right.
And then it's like, oh no.
Reach back.
I missed that one. Yeah. So who was the one that we mentioned? Rick Ankiel. mention Rick Ankiel. Knobloch. Yeah.
Ankiel was crazy too. I mean, would you say six pitches, five pitches?
Yeah. So here's, I'm not going to go through 10 athletes, but one of them was, the first one was Rick Ankiel in his first complete season in the big leagues. Ankiel had a solid regular season, posting 11-6. All right, back at it. So as I was saying, Rick Ankiel, in his first complete season in the big leagues, Ankiel had a solid regular season, posting an 11-7 record and a 3.5 ERA in 2000. He started game one of the NLDS and had a shutout through two innings. In the third inning, he allowed four runs on two hits, four walks, and five wild pitches before taking out of the game. He went on to start game two of the NLCS against the Mets, but was removed in the first inning after five pitches made it behind the catcher. The following season, he was sent down to the minors.
I think we were talking about it before, but I think Rick Ankiel is the one that was a pitcher, but reinvented himself and came back as a position player.
Oh, so he came. Yeah, let's see here. He made a brief reappearance in the majors in September 2004 and March 2005. He abandoned pitching altogether and switched to the outfield. He hurt his knee in 2006, forcing him to sit the entire season, but returned in 2007. He was promoted from AAA to the Cardinals in August. He played for the Cardinals, Royals, Braves, Nationals, Astros, and Mets until 2013, finishing with a .240 batting average and 76 home runs.
I mean, that's incredible in itself.
Yeah.
A cool story to have gone from. I mean, probably didn't feel that cool for him. You play your whole life as a pitcher and then you can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But I mean, imagine the cannon in the outfield.
Yeah. Yeah. The only other football one that is relative before we get into Knobloch, Mike Vanderjack, former Indianapolis Colts kicker. Mike Vanderjack was one of the most accurate in NFL history until the end of 2005 regular season. He made 87.5% of his field goals during his eight seasons in Indianapolis. And in the 2005 playoffs against the Pittsburgh Steelers, he had a chance to tie the game with 18 seconds left. It was a long but makeable 46 yards that he completely shanked, and it really derailed his career. It doesn't seem like a yip. That just seems like a miss.
Yeah, sounds like an unfortunate event.
Yeah. What happened next? He was cut by the Colts after that season and signed with the Cowboys. So the Cowboys are known for this. He was never the same kicker, missing 5 out of 18 attempts that year. Ooh. After 10 games, the Cowboys cut him for Martin Automatica Grammatica. In 2008, he returned to the Canadian League Football League, where he began his career and signed with the Toronto Argonauts. He was released the following year. So
so not a huge successful Canadian Football League.
No. And then Nick Folk too. But it doesn't seem like it just says he missed 10 kicks in 14 games before him being cut again, Dallas. In his first 2 years at the Dallas Cowboys, he was extremely accurate. He just missed 7 field goals in 2009. His third year, he missed 10 kicks in 14 games, was cut. The final straw was this 24-yard kick against New Orleans Saints. So
maybe it's time to rethink the special teams coaching.
I think so. So what happened next? Folk was signed by the Jets. He has been better ever since, missing 9 kicks in 2010. It turns out that Folk didn't necessarily have a case of the yips. He had a misdiagnosed torn labrum in his right hip. So a little bit different.
Yep.
Yeah. And then your buddy, Chuck Knobloch. I think I heard Yuli in here. What is she doing?
I waved to her.
I Chuck Knobloch began his career in Minnesota and quickly established himself as one of the best fielding second basemen in the game in 1991. He was named as the American League Rookie of the Year. He eventually became a four-time All-Star with the Twins. In 1998, he went to the Yankees, and that's where the fielding issues began. They peaked in June of 2000 when he made three throwing errors in six innings before taking himself out of the game against the White Sox.
That's brutal.
He's like, all right, I got to go. Sorry, guys.
That just sucks, honestly.
Oh, yeah, I just saw they're playing, replaying part of it. It was just a routine grounder to second. He was moving a little bit. I think he hit somebody in the stands, actually. They're showing an old lady in the stands. So, grounder and, yeah, about 15 feet over the first baseman's head. So, maybe that's when he pulled himself. But what happened next? He returned to second base briefly, but never regained his throwing accuracy. He was moved to the outfield and designated hitter for the remaining 2 years of his career, including New York's World Series run in 2000. So, we do have a happy ending there.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's the best one. I like that one the most.
Yeah. Yeah. And seeing the, seeing that throw and then they're at whenever it was early, you know, 90s, it was, and they go to the stands and they just light up the lady and just like holding her head or something like, oh man. All right. Well, awesome. We could all have the yips.
Yep.
Yips. Just don't get in your head, guys. In other sports things to do, golf. You want to do some golf, hit the links at Petco Park. Have you seen this?
It's really cool. Yeah.
So they're doing it through January 22nd for the 8th year. Petco Park is going to host the links at Petco Park, a 9-hole ballpark golf course experience for golfers of all ages and skill levels. You take shots from various tees around the course featuring signature holes from the past years, including home plate, plus the new themed holes. And chances to win some awesome prizes. Callaway will provide the clubs, and each foursome will have their own dedicated caddy. Afterwards, you can head to the loft, which will be transformed into the Lynx clubhouse for food and bev. Tee times begin at 7 a.m. most days and run through the evening. So you can purchase twosome or foursomes. You can get a premium package. You can do all kinds of fun stuff. So you could also get a spectator's pass, which actually kind of sounds fun too, for $5. The preferred tickets for a normal round is $100 if you want to do VIP, which I think it comes with like some food vouchers or gift cards, two drink tickets, and one parking pass for $225. So going through next week, it looks like. Yeah, it's going through this weekend, so through Sunday. Nice. So get on out there, but it looks awesome. It's so fun. I don't know if I'll make it this year, but definitely one of these years we need to get down there.
Just not accurate enough.
Maybe we'll go to the range for 3 days prior, you know, do that and then go play our 9 holes over there. Cause that'd be fun to even bring a client to or something like, dude, let's go golf at Petco. How rad is that?
They do it. I mean, they do it up in San Francisco too. I remember, it was going to be right near the end of the, after the season ended, I think like October or November.
Yeah.
But, it looks awesome. What a cool experience.
Yeah, I wonder. There's a little tiny golf course back by, it's somebody's house. I think they bought the next lot over in Olivenhane, and they have the same. I mean, it's not Petco, but they have one green, and then they have, I don't know how many. I think they have. They five said it's like eight. Yeah, they had a few holes, and then they're all chips, but just like this. Yeah. But yeah, you get to go. It's what was it called? I don't know. I have it saved somewhere because it's a private thing. So I think he just does it for like his buddies and stuff. But if you go to Google Maps, go search for a little hidden golf course in Olivenhane. Looks pretty fun.
The local, speaking of golf courses, our little local golf, one of our local, Rancho Carlsbad, is an absolute lake. I drove past it.
Oh, is it?
It's absolutely, I mean, I've seen pictures of Lake San Marcos. Looks, the golf course looks like that too, just because there's so much water. The drainage is usually good, but when you get that much rain.
It's pretty low too, I think. Probably comes through that little culver there.
Yeah. But the funniest thing in Rancho Carlsbad is they're well known for their like gumdrop greens. And so all you see sticking up is the raised gumdrop green. It looks like an island. It looks like one of those holes you have to take a bridge to. Pretty funny.
Oh, that's awesome. Maybe they will. They could do something fun like that.
He's all the waiting.
Yeah, very accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that the drove by as we were coming home from the airport yesterday, drove by like Mission Valley and that whole, you know, river down there as you're crossing over was pretty gnarly. Yeah. I guess they closed part of the 78 too the other day because it was there was a flood over past like Jefferson and Emerald or somewhere over there, kind of towards the end of 78. So it's open now, but it was just all flooded.
Yeah, we got to
be careful, my friends.
Mm-hmm. That's what it came down to. Tons and tons of water.
Did you guys get flooded at all in San Alejo?
No. I mean, our yards were, saw a couple people post like their pools got overfilled or overflowed and got a whole ton of dirt and stuff in it. But ours looks like the normal level. I don't know why.
Interesting. Yeah, it should be overflowed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you have a drain or something.
Yeah, maybe there's, could be.
Something I've never even heard of. All right. Should we get into the craft corner?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Give me your beer of the week before we get into predictions from Drizzly of what to expect for the year. And I got a few, which we were actually the newsmakers on. We got a few news things too. So
cool.
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to find back my link. New brewery I had never heard of before when we went to Disneyland the other day is called Rad Beer Company.
Rad.
It's totally rad. and their logo and stuff is sick. Like it's rad. It's not sick.
Yeah.
It's kind of that old school like skater look. And it's, you know, got the Angel Stadium logo. It's got the Ducks logo. It's got Matterhorn. And then like a keg riding a skateboard. So pretty cool on their website.
But anyway, how do you find their website? It's just
getradbeer.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cause it's not even on the first page of, it's all like their Facebook page, Get Rad Beer.
Yeah. And they're in Anaheim on that 1301 South Lewis Street, Anaheim. So, and their tasting room looks kind of like a normal tasting room. But they distribute, at least right now they are, to at Disney California Adventure. And I had to get, when I saw the name of this, there's usually only one IPA at most of the spots anyway.
Yeah. But
when I saw the name of this one, I'm like, oh, I gotta get this. And it's Laces Out Dan IPA.
Nice.
So it's fitting going into the weekend where the Bills were playing the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And it was a tasty, it was just West Coast style IPA. It was really tasty. It was a good get.
Nice.
Yeah.
Rad.
I mean, it's cool that they have, like, that they're, they get a lot of local stuff.
Yeah. Did you say it kind of has a Culver,
the artwork kind of looks like that, but it's like, I said, like, just like that skater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what, kind of
like Tony Hawk brand. What was that, in the 90s?
Yeah. I can't remember the name of it.
All right.
I don't know. I can't remember now.
Yeah, definitely skate-ish, but they are the vision of craft brewer ambassadors Cameron Collins, founder of Brew Ha Ha Productions, and Dylan Mobley, former head brewer of Bottle Logic, which is and head brewer at Hellsman Ale House of Newport, combined with entrepreneurs Joe Wilshire from Docent, which they're coming to, I believe, Oceanside. I think Docent's moving a spot down here too. Project Social, and Steve Martin, but I don't think it's the same Steve Martin, but they embody Southern California culture with a lively, unpretentious ambiance, the aesthetic of a 90s skate shop and a beloved record store, and a legit soundtrack to fit the vibe. No shirt, no shoes, no shoes, no shirt, no worries.
I like it.
Yeah. Rad. But yeah, they don't come down here yet. So maybe we'll see them in the future.
Yeah.
Or when you go to Disneyland.
Yeah. They rotate. I mean, the local one is kind of a rotating tap, it seems like.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm hoping that one's there the next time we go too. It was, nice. It was very, very good.
Good. Laces Out Dan.
Laces Out Dan. But it's funny because I just watched that, whatever it was. Oh, when I went to Austin. So all the Ace Ventura quotes are always top of mind.
Yeah. For sure. My beer of the week comes from the good friends in Colorado called Coors Light. That's what we enjoyed.
Never heard that one before.
In Vegas, it's Vegas. They were drinking some. It's called Lush. It was like their local IPA there. I forget who made it. But my game plan was just Coors Light. You know, it's not Vegas isn't really a craft beer kind of weekend. Like nice 7% IPAs. Yeah, mm-hmm. No thanks. Just drink the 96% water ones all day.
Is it the Fremont Lush?
Yeah, it might be the Fremont Lush.
White can, green.
I didn't see the cans. They were just doing it tap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I get that on Alaska Airlines.
Oh yeah.
On the way to Hawaii.
Lush IPA. Let's see here. Fremont. Okay. Could be. Let me see. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see the cans, but it was, I did have a drink of it. A little sip. It was tasty, but Coors Light is it. So not much for you guys there. You guys know where to get that. But over in beer news, a new beer that we had the drop on. We were the news on this one, Casty. Nice. This just came out on January 14th. We had our podcast. If you didn't listen to it, go listen to episode 192 with our beer guru, Mr. Noah Scoville. But Bergen Beer teams up with the iconic resort Omni La Costa, collabs with Carlsbad Operation on Destination Paradise Blonde Ale. So he let us know about the collab, but they have it in the – I didn't know Omni was like a tile. Did you know that?
No.
The cans are designed featuring an elegant Omni tile. It's cool. You'll notice like that tile design when you look at their cans. But they're going to have craft beer enthusiasts far and wide will raise a glass to this new collab with the acclaimed Carlsbad-based brewing. The Blondale captures a breezy vacation vibe of Omni La Costa at first taste, embodying the relaxing spirit of the resort combined with the beer's bright and refreshing qualities. It's available on draft as well as 16-ounce cans featuring the elegant Omni tile design. Custom nice. Artwork or custom illustrated artwork on the can. It illuminates four key features of the resort: fountains, birds of paradise, palm trees, and its historic bell. So
very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice that they, I always love to see the collabs with locals So, mm-hmm. Well, Omni's not local, but I mean, it's a local staple here. So
yeah. Right.
It's the Omni La Costa resort and spa. So exactly. Anybody living here knows what that is, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I think a blonde ale is a definite go-to. When do you think it is before I answer?
I'd say summer. I'd say it's more of a summer beer.
Any sort of activities that would go for?
Well, I mean, they're going poolside probably. But yeah. I mean, for me, that's probably the only time I'm drinking it.
Yeah. Maybe golf.
Golf. Yeah. I like IPAs golfing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to get right quick.
You dial in that swing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just had the Salty Crew from
that's a good beer.
Who is it? Collab with is it Alesmith?
Coronado.
Okay, that's it. Yeah. But if that they collab with Salty Crew, and that's like the blonde, and you get it on golf courses. I think we got it cuz it was a special, so it was like $5 or something.
That's
something cheap.
Doesn't it have kind of like that salty, I mean, I know Salty Crew, but doesn't it have kind of that Buena Vista type flavor?
I don't know, not
so much the corn, but the, I don't know, for some reason,
I don't know, less blonde than the most blonde ales. So
yeah,
is what I would say. Yeah. Also West Brew is reimagining their Del Mar venue. So if you've been through Del Mar, they have a little, right now, so they have like, it's right next to Chase Bank on the corner there. And then they have like a little kind of indoor tap room kitchen. But then they also have this huge outdoor patio right on the corner. It's just like the 101 and I forget the other road. It's like one of the first streets when you're coming south into Del Mar, like downtown Del Mar. But they got the go ahead. They're going to make it this huge, I mean, they're going to basically make it kind of indoor outdoor, but a nice like lounge style. So it's like windows all around, but also even though it's nice here, a lot of times it does get chilly a little bit. So they'll probably have some like heaters and stuff in there, but West Brew, they opened just in 2020, but they have the Del Mar one, they have their Vista headquarters, and then they are Looks like they're still working. Oh, no, it debuted down in East Village. So a few new spots. I'm sure you've seen West Brew out and about if you guys are any sort of beer drinkers, even though they just came on in the past few years. But the original brewer, this is funny, after the original brewer, Cody Gagnon, moved to Carlsbad Brewing to head a recently introduced fermentation component that upgrades the but it says Carlsbad Brewing. It hadn't brewed in-house since it moved from Mission Brewery Plaza, where it operated acoustic ale. So Carlsbad Brewing, until recently, they hadn't even been brewing. It was just Carlsbad Brewing. It wasn't actual brewing. But they brought former Rough Draft Brewing headman Dustin Hendrick. So they got some good beer rolling over there. They're going to be kind of rolling it out in phases. It looks like they're going to kind of knock it down, get the outdoor area, but the indoor area should be kind of ready. They're not doing, didn't seem like they're doing too much to the indoor, but later in January, and they finish up construction, or shooting to have the entire project completed sometime in March. They're working on some new food there too. And the head chef, his name's Doug Fjall. He's not ready to disclose the dishes he has in development, not even to the Shearers, who are the owners. So he's not even telling them. He's like, nah, you guys just wait. I'm working on something nice here. But place looks rad. West Brew, it's located at 1435 Camino del Mar in Del Mar. So once they have that done, and this is kind of like their side hustle. Their main hustle is a construction company. And so that's kind of why the reason they're going to have such a quick turnaround. Usually this kind of project would take like 2 years, but they are going to get in there. So a new spot to check out. And then in Drizzly News, 2023 Alcohol Trend Report, what to expect based on a nationwide survey of adults of legal drinking age, obviously conducted in October 2022 and supplemented with sales data derived from Drizzly, the platform that you can order alcohol to your house, I guess, if it's too far to go. But get insights into the biggest trends of 2023. They're going to say poppy more bottles, affordable bottles of fizz. So if you need some more champagne on the cheap, they think there's going to be some more of that. This one is interesting. Out of all the boozes, yeah, they're saying there's going to be a rum resurgence. Huh. I don't know about rum. There's actually one rum that I've had that was, you know, when you think of rum, you're like, oh, Bacardi, or maybe you get fancy, like dark, you know, Myers rum. Mm-hmm. For like, you know, what is that in? It's in a cocktail. That's like, in a few cocktails.
You float it on a Mai Tai.
Yeah. Oh, Mai Tai. Yeah. And that looks pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But it was like a brown sugar rum that my brother-in-law had. And it was, you know, like you get a nice bottle of bourbon or whiskey too. It's, you know, 40, 50 bucks, maybe 60. And so it's kind of like that. You don't think of rum, but it was tasty. It was because I know rum's made from sugar, but they also had it just, I don't know if they add sugar in it, but it was like a little, or however they smoke, put it in the barrels or whatever. It was like definitely like a brown sugary type of flavor. And it wasn't just like a mixer. It was like a pour it over some ice, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, they said expect to drink more rum. Of the survey respondents, they plan spend the most on spirits. 33% cited rum. They beat out bourbon, whiskey, and barely lagged behind tequila. So, portable options dominate, obviously. So ready to drink. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ready to drink cocktails. They had 36% of just ready to drink cocktails. And then they had followed by hard sodas, hard coffee, canned wine. Those are the top four. Ready to drink cocktails are obviously going to be go-to for the year. Wine drinkers are demanding more info on the label. Okay, fair enough. And then in the beer news, lager call it a comeback. Ah. Lager will take up more space in the cooler. Of the respondents that plan to spend the most on beer in 2023, lager took the top spot at 38%, notably 1 percentage point above. This is where, I don't know if it makes sense, 1 percentage point above hard seltzer at 37%. So is it beer? Because it's going to spend the most on beer in 2023, lager right above hard seltzer. I don't know. They're putting these in the same category, Cassie. I don't know if I like it. What do you think?
I don't think same category.
No. Seltzer is not a beer. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
I mean, seltzer's a seltzer.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then High Noon is the weird one where it's like a maybe a canned cocktail.
Yeah.
Canned cocktail.
Well, before we get into the last one, so Noah said, look for more, wasn't it fruited stuff, kind of fruity?
Yeah.
Kind of going into this year. Last year was lagers. What are you thinking is going to be the hit this year?
I just really hope it's West Coast IPA. No, I think mine's the same as last year. I think that the beers that I get most excited about, and it's because it's like one of the first ones I really liked when I started drinking beer, is a good pale ale.
Yeah.
I would love to have that be the resurgent. I don't, I think Bergen pushes out a lot of them, not a lot, but a handful. But I don't think a ton of other breweries do.
Yeah.
And maybe it's tougher to make. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly the reason, but
yeah. Yeah. It is. It's an IPA light.
Yeah. Has been a beer company that only made, well, they make a couple other beers, but that is their bread and butter.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I guess we shall see. I'm trying to think. I would like to say lagers, but I can't go with that twice in a row. I mean, how many more
IPAs for sure?
What's that?
You hazy IPAs for sure.
Yeah.
It's made a comeback in your world because you were like full on against them for like a
Yeah, well years. Now they're not as cool anymore, so I'm back. I can see hazies, but like a traditional non-juicy hazy, just kind of that, you know, where it's not like sweet. Like I just saw New Belgian, so they're not craft, but they make the Voodoo Ranger.
Yeah.
And they came out with, Corey got me a 12 pack for Christmas of like their different IPAs of,
yeah,
you know, experimental this and that. But I just saw an ad that they are doing like a fruit punch IPA.
Oh, wow. Right.
Like, no, dude, like get your West Coast IPA and then get your like New England style as your, you know, hazy IPA. I think that's the go-to again, back to the New England style hazy IPAs where it's not fruited, it's not juicy, it's just like a, you still get the IPA,
yeah,
it's just a little cloudier.
Mm-hmm.
A little cloudier. So
I thought New Belgium was one of those that was still like employee owned, but that's not the case. They're owned by Kieran.
Okay. Yeah. So. Yeah, they went full in on Voodoo Ranger. That's like their whole thing now.
In Fat Tire, but cool. Honestly, what they've done with the packaging is awesome.
Yeah.
Like that, it just, I'm a sucker for cool packaging because I will, for sure just buy based on that. Like, yeah. I know that I've enjoyed their beers in the past. But even just the variations of the skeleton things are awesome.
Yep. That's like their brand.
Yeah.
It's like a spinoff, like Voodoo Ranger is a brand.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Right. And then one place we've mentioned in the past many times, and I'll just send you to there where I found this. It's sandiegoeater.com. You go check it out. But Heritage Barbecue just opened up this weekend. So we've mentioned that they were opening up, but they are alive and well. But you could scroll through the eater.com article. You mm-hmm. can read it if you want to, but you can check out the pictures, kind of see it inside. Nice big open space. It's right at the end of Vista Way and Coast Highway, right in Oceanside. They're going to have some good beer, ton of good barbecue. They're going to do some barbecue down here, like actually, you know, smoke it and stuff down here. But their main spot in San Juan is where they're getting like the brisket and the one of the other bigger items, just because he's got a big setup up there, it sounds like. And then so they'll, you know, ship it down here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely. As far as barbecue goes, it sounds like it's one of the more legit spots around. So cool. If you guys like barbecue, want to go check it out. They're also going to have cocktails. They're going to have a little speakeasy in there. They're going to have, the other one is more like meat counter, go get your stuff. You could also get all the smoke stuff. This is more, kind of restaurant experience status. So
cool.
It is open. Go check it out, my friends. If you guys want to go for lunch or something, hit us up.
Yeah.
Love to go with you. You can find me over on Instagram at I am Chris Erickson and find Casty Lewis at Casty Lewis RE. Come say what's up. Subscribe. Did we miss anything?
No, I don't think so.
All right, hit us up. Hello at North County CA.
Football this week, this coming weekend, but we'll
we'll write them down and then we'll post produce them after this. So
sounds good.
All right, thanks for tuning in, my friends. Catch you all for episode 195.